The Beacon, celebrating when God uses the unexpected to do the unexplainable.
Hey, good morning and welcome to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. The Beacon is sponsored by Phoenix Christian. And we are delighted to be in the studio again today for another session, a really cool opportunity to shed a little more light on the amazing ways in which God is using the unexpected to do the unexplainable. Here in studio with me again this morning, our faithful co-host, Jeff Blake. Say hey.
Hey, good morning. I'm glad to have you back, Steve.
Jeff, this morning, I'm going to have you introduce our special guest because I know your paths cross, and I want you to talk a little bit about that, but would you introduce Will to our audience, please?
Well, yeah, good morning. So we were at a Choices Pregnancy Center fundraiser.
Yeah, that's right.
And sitting with a group of faithful friends and community, active in service to our community. And even just the beautiful thing sitting around that table is all sorts of different individuals committed to our Lord and King, but each with a different dimension of leadership in our community. And some mutual friends, Lauren and Travis Scharnweber, introduced me to this gentleman sitting next to me here, Will. And Will, you represent an organization called?
It's called Go10, or Go to Every Nation.
Which is pretty cool. And you also have a history in foster care in service to our community, and that's the connection that you made through the Scharnwebers. And so Will and I had a chance a little bit, maybe during the banquet, but a little bit more afterwards. And I think since then, we've exchanged a number of emails back and forth. And honestly, Steve, this morning, I'm a little selfish with the opportunity to get to know more about Go10, get to know more about Will and his calling and service to our community. So I'm blessed to be sitting here.
Well, Will, we want to thank you for being in studio with us this morning. Thank you for being here.
Oh, yeah, it's my pleasure. I really appreciate you giving us the opportunity to share a little bit about what we're doing here in the Valley.
Yeah, and can we just take a minute and acknowledge, both in the studio and for our listeners, that Will could possibly have the best radio voice of any guest that we've had thus far. Like, it's awesome. Just say anything, Will. It's amazing. Just shout out to your wife, right?
Yeah, I'm not sure about that, but I definitely appreciate it.
Well, Jeff and I are often accused of having a face for radio, you know, but you actually have the voice, and Will's a good-looking guy, so it's really kind of cool to dress up the studio this morning. But man, so we were talking a little bit off air, and in this first segment today, we want to get to know you and your family a little bit, and just kind of your vibe in Phoenix, and tell us a little bit about your wife, how you guys met, kids, and just what life looks like in your household.
Yeah, definitely. So I came to Arizona in high school, but we moved to Flagstaff. So I went to high school up in Flag.
Nice.
And then after high school, I met my wife going to NAU up there in Flag.
Oh, Jax.
And so as we began to look at starting a family, she wanted to be closer to her family. So that's when we moved back to the Valley. So we literally live within a couple miles of almost all of her siblings, her mom, her dad, all of them are right within just a couple miles of us. And so we've been back here in the Valley, or I should say I've been in the Valley since 2004. So I said, we started a family. Since 2004, we've had five kids. So my oldest is 15. Then I have a 12-year-old, a 10-year-old, a 9-year-old, and an 8-year-old. So the 9-year-old is adopted and falls right in between the two youngest bio kids.
That's never a dull moment in that house, for sure.
No, not at all. Well, especially so our 9-year-old's adopted. We adopted him through foster care, and he was our first foster placement. We continued to foster for a number of years. And so there was a 2.5-year stretch there where we had 7 kids in the home, and all of them were 10 and under.
Giddy up, man. That's just almost crowd control more than it is parenting, right? It's just like,
well, that just tells you a little bit about my wife and just the amazing person that she is to be able to tackle that, go on head on with 7 kids, 10 and under.
I love it. That's awesome. And your wife has an interesting career too that kind of relates to your story, right?
Oh yeah. So in the middle of our foster care journey, she was working part-time and going to school full-time to become a licensed marriage and family therapist. And so now she gets the opportunity to work with traumatized youth, many of them coming out of foster care.
Amazing, amazing. Well, talk a little bit about your personal journey into vocational ministry and talk a little bit about full-time ministry and how we feel about that and what that really looks like.
Yeah. So actually a really great story. When I met my wife, I was not a believer. She had grown up in the church, grown up going to Grace Christian School here in the Valley.
Go Mustangs.
And when we came down to Phoenix, we started attending church and Jesus just really got a hold of my heart. And from that point on, I was 22 at that point, and I dove right into ministry within the church as far as being really intentional about being there on Sundays, setting things up. I quickly learned, I just couldn't put my Bible down, mm-hmm. learned as much as I could about it, quickly became a small group leader, things of that. And I was really content with being, you know, so-called a weekend warrior. So I'm working a 9-to-5 and then investing heavily within my church community during the weekend time. But the Lord kept just giving me this discontentment with what I was doing, knowing that there was more. And not to say that you can't be a full-time in ministry while working a non-ministry secular vocational job.
Right.
But I kept feeling more of a tug and more of a tug. And so I wanted to explore what that was. Being that I was licensed with a Christian agency for foster care, that was where I really stepped in and started to learn. So I left my career actually with State Farm at the time and mm-hmm. went to work with the foster care agency here, and really just had my mind blown and my heart pulled so closely to vulnerable people and marginalized people, and really saw what God was doing in the lives of so many people that were right here in our community that I didn't even realize, where I'd driven past them every day,
mm-hmm.
and just really compelled me to move more into those broken communities that are right here in our backyard.
You know, what you described reminds me of that expression, the guy like seized you with the power of his great affection. It's like, you know, you went from not having a relationship through Christ with the God of the universe to having one, to being compelled and saturated with his word and transformed to have thoughts and desires that were previously foreign and not authored by you, but by the Spirit of the living God in you that then compels you forward. And so it starts in foster care, and you're now in ministry, not just full-time ministry, which, as we talk about a lot on this show, all of us who are in Christ Jesus are in full-time ministry. Some of us are cleverly disguised as a superintendent of a school, or, you know, a part-time radio host or whatever it is, but all called to full-time ministry. And then there's that transition, in your case, to full-time ministry as a vocation. And the first ministry that you were involved with in foster care, you know, that was a big change. But then there was a next step.
Yeah, absolutely. So as I started to continue to explore this idea of bringing the gospel to marginalized people, particularly people that hadn't been exposed to the gospel previously, I was invited into a missions team, a missions organization with a focus in Eastern Europe. Mm. And so I actually got to make several trips over to Europe to start to explore what it would look like to establish a gospel community there. And I'd say that would be the first time that God really opened my eyes to how to effectively establish gospel communities among people that you would consider unreached with the gospel.
Yeah, and interestingly enough, as often is the case, when the Lord compels us to move in a direction, that initial direction may not necessarily be the end of the story. It could be a stepping point. It could be an opportunity to go this way and then that way. And Scripture is filled with stories like that of people that, you know, raise their hand and say, God, I'll go anywhere you want to go. I'm obedient. I'm yours. Whatever you want me to do. And God says, okay, let's do this, which is, you know, in some sort of supernatural way, kind of a bait and switch. In your case, it's like God said, okay, here you are. You're faithful. You're obedient. Let's do it this way for a while, and then another transition.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely right. And I would say that nothing has ever gone to waste. Like, I can look back at my life and see how God intentionally had, he was waiting on me and he was putting me in the places that I needed to be in so I could be shaped and formed for that next step of the journey and what he was opening me up to. And so as we went over there to Serbia, I was exposed to all of these ideas of cultures that haven't had Christianity, haven't understood the love of Christ. But as we continued on with that team, it became really apparent that the focus wasn't going to happen. That team wasn't going to be able to be established there. And I was really left reeling. I was really frustrated. And so fortunately, I had a great group of guys, Christian men that had been walking with me, older than me, and that had continued to pour into me. And one of them was actually he had founded a similar missions organization with a focus completely on unreached people groups.
Well, it's amazing, you know, to think about that. And, you know, as we get into our next segment, we'll talk about how God kind of blew open the door to go from where you were to what you're doing right now. We'll hear more about Go10 and the mission and the opportunities that exist. But, man, Will, I just want to thank you again for being our guest today here on the program. We're thrilled that you've invested some time. We hope that those of you that are listening to the podcast today, or if you're listening on 960 The Patriot on air, are blessed and encouraged, maybe even challenged, and find an opportunity for yourself to realize that you too have relationships that God's put in your path, opportunities that are unique to you and how God's wired you and where he's put you, and that all of us, in essence, have this full-time ministry opportunity. Jeff, what do you think?
I'm pretty impressed, and I think I was reflecting, meeting you for the first time and understanding what you do, and we have a number of refugee students in the school that we serve, and to think that God's building unique individual lives and organizations and even using Phoenix Christian as a tool to reach unreached people groups, I'm challenged and blessed to be here.
Well, again, if you just happen to tune in, you're listening to The Beacon. We're thrilled to have Will from Go10 Ministries. Of course, Jeff is in the studio with us. When we come back in this next segment, you have an opportunity to hear more about Go10 specifically, hear a little bit more about how you might be able to get engaged or involved, and hear a little bit more even about specific stories of how God is using the ministry in magnificent ways for the sake of his kingdom. So this is The Beacon. We're all about talking how God uses the unexpected to use or to do the unexplainable, and we look forward to unfolding that and this story a little bit more in the segment to come. Thanks again for tuning in, 960 The Patriot, and also on podcast.
The Beacon is presented by Phoenix Christian, a school celebrating excellence in education since 1949. Learn more at phoenixchristian.org.
Hey, well, welcome back to The Beacon. My name's Steve Woods. I'm your host. We're thrilled to have in studio with us Will Krieger from Go10 and, of course, our co-host Jeff Blake from Phoenix Christian, learning about Go10 Ministries, learning a little bit about Will and his family and the compelling that God has put in his heart and his life to reach the lost and through this ministry of Go10. Will, you know, it was cool to see how you met your wife at NAU and you met the Lord subsequent to that relationship, and that God just grabbed your heart. You went deeper in his word, and then you realized, man, there's an opportunity to be engaged and involved in ministry that God's authoring. And God puts you on a path which, you know, God doesn't waste any of the experiences in our life. And it may not have been the most direct route, but it was the perfect route by his perfect plans as they're unfolded for you. And so then you have the chance to be engaged and involved with Go10. We want to spend this segment diving deep into Go10. Maybe how it was founded, what it's about, where it's headed, how God's using it. Help us learn a little bit more about the ministry in this segment.
Yeah, absolutely. So I had mentioned that I had some godly men pouring into me during that time of just searching and what God had for me. And one of those was a man by the name of Bobby Cox, who's actually the founder, our founder at Go10. And when he started the ministry, it was actually designed very similarly to the team that I was planting in Serbia. It was a traditional mission sending organization designed to send Western missionaries into countries and among people that had little to no access to the gospel. But the really cool thing is that that was formed in 2009. In 2014, God really placed on his heart that he was calling him back to the U.S., and yet Bobby still had this just desire to see the gospel proclaimed among people that had little to no access to it. And he didn't know what that would look like in the U.S. And that's when he came to really understand the full scope of what was happening with the refugee, what was happening with the refugee situation here in the United States. And so in 2014, he relocated the main focus of Go10 to be here in the U.S., among refugees. And so we have here in Arizona alone, we've had close to 100,000 refugees resettled since 1980. And of those, almost 80,000 of them come from unreached people groups. So people are coming from all over the world that have had no chance to hear the gospel. And now they're being planted right here in our backyard.
Phenomenal.
Yeah. Yeah. Just such an amazing opportunity. And so what we've done here at Go to Every Nation, now rather than sending missionaries, Western missionaries, over into these communities where they're cultural outsiders, they're learning the language, learning how to insert the gospel into these communities, now we get to send missionaries into apartment complexes and communities here in the U.S. that have high populations of refugees. And now these individuals get to be cultural insiders, where they're actually coming alongside these refugee families, helping them to integrate into life in America. And as a result, they're establishing deep friendships and being able to share and speak the truth of Jesus into those relationships.
Can we just talk for a minute? And as a listener, I would invite you to try and wrap our minds individually around what it would be like to flee, to risk, in essence, everything we know for the sake of the unknown, and be in a place. I it's hard for me to imagine myself and or my family relocated in a place where we are among 80,000 in millions that look and have the history that we have. It's just really hard to grasp that.
Yeah, no, and it is really hard to wrap your mind around that. I mean, just the sheer number of people, there are over 65 million displaced people in our world right now. It'd be probably the third largest country in the world. Wow. If you pulled all those people together. And listening to the stories of our friends here in the U.S., many of them have to leave in the middle of the night. They don't get to bring anything with them, oftentimes separated from their families. I've heard of people actually taking jobs within refugee camps at checking people in as they enter the camp, just with the hope that they'll actually come across their family in the process. And so many people are just split from their families right away. And if they are lucky enough to be chosen as to be resettled as a refugee, oftentimes they're separated from loved ones for a time. They don't get to pick what country they're going into. So I've met people that have been relocated here, but their loved ones are somewhere in Europe, somewhere, you know, in the Middle East, something like that.
So their family is splintered. They're in a place that's unfamiliar. They have a language to speak that they've never been trained in. And that redirection of the method of ministry back in 2014 is a pivot point that will always be on the timeline for Go to Every Nation, as this was a time when God, you know, ordered our steps.
Yeah, exactly. And so now we get to love people in the midst of that just brokenness. The way I try to explain it is, picture yourself fleeing America and being resettled in Syria. Now you have to learn how to put your kids into an education system. You have to figure out health systems. And by the way, it's all going to be done in Arabic. So you're going to have to do that. It's just the task is phenomenal. And so what we've done, what anybody in the refugee community will tell you are the two biggest needs of a refugee coming into America is to learn the English language and to have an American friend to help navigate culture. And so what we've done now at GoTen to establish our workers as cultural insiders, we've created language learning centers in the hearts of these communities where not only our staff, but we are inviting the local church to come alongside us to be those American friends, to help train the individuals in English so that they can navigate our health system. They can navigate the education system. They're able to get better opportunities for employment. And in the meantime, they have a friend that's walking alongside of them in all of that process. And in their countries of origin, they've had, again, like I said, little to no chance to hear the truth about Jesus. And so not only are we praying for them as they're coming into our country, we're showing them love through our English centers, but then we're able to share truth, and we're training not only our staff but our volunteers as they're ready on how to share the gospel effectively to oral preference learners or people that learn through stories rather than through linear written word.
Life-giving, life-changing, and the chance to be Jesus with some skin on to people that really, really need and benefit from that involvement. So here's a ministry founded in 2009 called Go to Every Nation with a pivot point in 2014 that we're talking about. And when you come back, when we get back in this next segment, we're going to have a chance to share with the audience how they can go on a mission trip, in essence, around the world, and do so by literally getting in their car and driving not that far from their home. How all of us have the chance to go without ever really having to move. You're not going to want to miss the chance that we're going to talk about in this next segment. Again, to Will, thank you for being here. We're excited to hear how God is using this ministry and excited to find out how we can engage more. Thanks for listening to The Beacon.
The Beacon is made possible by Phoenix Christian and listeners like you.
Hey, welcome back to The Beacon. My name is Steve Woods. I'm your host. Thanks for tuning in. If you happen to just be tuning into this segment or to this show on 960 The Patriot, thank you for listening in. We have as our special guest today, Will Krieger. He's with Go to Every Nation. An acronym, GoTen, is the name of the ministry. We have in studio with us our faithful co-host, Jeff Blake. And so, Will, to kind of pick up where we're at, the ministry that God is using and God is doing through the volunteers and staff and people that are engaged for the sake of the benefit of the practical needs of refugees located in Phoenix and elsewhere, but also the spiritual needs. Is phenomenal. We're excited to hear about it. What we really want to look at in this segment is, if I'm listening and I'm compelled by this, how do I get engaged? How do I learn more? Where do I go? How do I see this in practice? Can you give us some ideas of on-ramps where, you know, maybe I'm intrigued, but I need to know a little bit more before I'm able to commit to being in a learning center as a volunteer? What does that look like for me to find out more?
Yeah, absolutely. So first, I would recommend going to our website, and it's goten.org. That will give you a lot of just information on us, how we're plugging in intentionally into the refugee community here. Then next steps are coming to visit us at one of our English centers, and we have a couple of ways you can do that. You can actually get in touch with us and learn what time, what English class fits best in your schedule, and actually just come down and visit us, get to understand it. If that feels a little intimidating, always feel free to reach out to us first. We can grab a cup of coffee, have a phone call, explain to you a little bit about what we're doing. But our second, the second thing, and actually what I usually try to push people to is what I highly recommend, is we offer once a month on a Saturday what we call a discovery day. And this is a time where you actually get to come down into a refugee community that's actually right in your backyard. We usually host them at 19th Avenue in Camelback, mm-hmm. at an apartment complex there. And you're able to come in, learn a little bit about what God's heart for the nations is, understand a little bit about how he's called us to go to every people group with the gospel. Then you get to understand what the opportunity we have here and now with refugees coming in. You get to learn about just the crisis, the things that they've experienced, the trauma. We talked a little bit about trying to put ourselves in those shoes. We'll actually walk you through a simulation where you get to experience a little bit of what that type of loss is like. And then we actually hold a class where you get to participate as much as you feel comfortable with in guiding the refugees. And it may sound a little intimidating, but I always tell people, as long as you can speak English and smile, you are overqualified to volunteer with us, because we leverage technology to do all of the heavy lifting in the language learning. And so it really places the volunteer in a position where they can just encourage the refugee. In fact, if you volunteer with us, that's what you'll be called, as an encourager with GoTen, because you're sitting alongside them and you're encouraging them as they're working through the language learning software, the programs, and just starting to, helping them with the nuances of the English as they're engaging with the program, but with very little. You don't need to be a teacher. You don't have to have a degree in ESL to be able to volunteer with us.
Like you said, if English is your first language, you're overqualified.
Exactly.
You're there. Yeah. And, you know, and I just can't, again, help but think all of us have known people who, whether they showed up at our church or someplace, our school, where we do life, and you meet somebody who's relocated from another state, another place in the country. They have all these needs. Like, I don't have a dentist. I don't know where to go for, you know, what's the best place to shop for groceries and all those kinds of things that, you know, even those things, when you're familiar with the culture, there's an adjustment. Again, exponentially greater the adjustment. All those things are happening, and I can't communicate. You know, I have no way to really know. It's just, again, it's mind-numbing to think about, and the ministry is so purposeful and so practical in the lives of these folks that these encouragers become lifelong friends. They become family members. They become, you know, the go-to person.
Yeah, exactly. In fact, that's what you'll see, is we're looking to move people from being a neighbor where you live next door to being a friend walking alongside them, and ultimately becoming family, becoming just an integral part of their community and they to yours.
It's cool. I mean, we've been very fortunate in this program to have lots of stories to tell and lots of ministries to highlight, and this is one that just resonates. It's such a great opportunity, and when we come back in this next segment, Will's going to share with us a story of a real life story of somebody whose life has been transformed through the ministry of GoTen. You don't want to miss it. Thanks for tuning into The Beacon. We look forward to wrapping up in this next segment with a cool story of things that God only can do.
Phoenix Christian believes strongly in its rich history and bright future, now equipping students from pre-K through 12th grade. Learn how you can help continue its legacy of Christ-centered education at phoenixchristian.org/support. You're listening to The Beacon, presented by Phoenix Christian.
Hey, welcome back to The Beacon. We proudly air this program from 9 to 10 Sunday mornings on 960 The Patriot. Appreciate the station here and all that they do to keep us on track. Really want to welcome again our special guest, Will Krieger from Go to Every Nation. Today it's been incredible to see right under our nose the opportunity to, in essence, go to every nation without ever really leaving our home city. And off air, I was telling Will that recently at our church, a pastor on a global emphasis, you know, missions weekend, was talking about the Great Commission, which is kind of the foundation for the name of the ministry, and broke into the sort of Greek word that is used for nations that in the translation starts with ethnos, which is the word from which we draw ethnicity, and the idea that when it says go to every nation, it's not just this geographical diversity as much as it is an ethnicity diversity, a diversity in people groups. And when you think about that and you think about your organization, man, talk a little bit about that's revolutionary in concept, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. And that's actually, I mean, so intentionally why our name was chosen to be Go to Every Nation, because of that Greek root to nation, where most of us today think of geographical borders. We think of the United States, or we think of Germany when we hear the word nation. But really what Jesus was calling us to do was go to every ethne, every ethnicity, every nation, as far as every people group, language group, people that are bound together with culture, not that fit within the walls or borders of a certain community.
Well, and certainly God is using and has been using missionaries that go to every land and faraway places. And that's, it's not a matter of a right or wrong thing as much as it is an and or, you know?
Yeah, exactly. And so that gives us the opportunity to go to every nation while never leaving the borders of our country, the United States. And that's the beauty of what we do. And so I wanted to share just a couple of stories of how that has looked now, switching our focus from going outward to the world, but going to the world that's being brought inward to us. And so a few years ago, actually right in 2014, we met a gentleman, or my boss met a gentleman, who was a refugee from Myanmar. And through their relationship, he was able to walk with this this gentleman and actually help him to gain his U.S. citizenship. So now he's a former refugee. He's now an American citizen. And this gentleman then continued to work in our English classes as a volunteer, and was a really big help in creating comfort for other individuals coming from Myanmar to settle into our English class. He understood very deeply their situation. And I wanted to share a little bit about one of these men that our staff member encountered. And this man was from Myanmar. He was actually a Buddhist monk in Myanmar. Hadn't encountered the gospel, but when he did, was very resistant to it because it was very antithetical to who he was, his whole way of life. But our staff member just continued to pour into him, not only in the English class setting, but establishing a friendship with him. And then ultimately starting to visit him in his home and being able to share the truth of Jesus with him. And through that relationship, walking with this gentleman, he actually professed a faith in Christ and has now come to submit to Jesus as Lord rather than, you know, forsaking the Buddhism of his past. And not only that, that's not even the full scope of the story, because now that man, former Buddhist monk, is now going into the Buddhist community, and he is now witnessing for Christ. He is establishing his own relationships. He's discipling men. And so that's the beauty of what's happening here, and that's our ultimate focus, is that we are connecting with refugees in our English center, sharing Jesus with them, and our hope is to create disciple-making movements that ultimately expand into church planning movements right here in the U.S.
Well, and then, like you said, this gentleman who benefited from somebody who, as a friend, as an encourager by title, came alongside him and just equipped him with the ability to communicate and function in a land that was foreign, goes on to, he gains his citizenship, he gains his identity in Christ, and his life is now having this far-reaching impact again right here in this community, but with this 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 people group and in a place where he can walk in, where nobody in this room is going to be able to walk in and relate and connect and have the relationships that he has, you know, with those that are currently practicing Buddhism.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. He is much more effective at speaking the gospel into that context. We can't understand all the ins and outs of that in the same way that he can, being raised in it and being so intimately involved in it. And so he's the perfect person to now be a missionary or to go on mission into those communities. And so that's really the heart of what we're trying to do, is to equip individuals from these cultures to then be missionaries back into their cultures of origin. And we don't only do that here in the U.S., but we've been able to, through our connections with the communities here, now start to go back with our refugee friends to their countries of origin and start to train or establish local churches there in those countries that they can effectively contextualize the gospel and take it to their communities. And so we've been very successful in Myanmar. Last year, we trained over 80 indigenous missionaries and pastors on effective ways to share the gospel with the Buddhist majority there in Myanmar. And this year actually marks a huge step for us, where half of our trainings will be done without any American presence. It's only done through the Burmese church that we've equipped to be able to do this. And so we're effectively putting ourselves out of a job, which is what we're trying to do, because now we have the opportunity to start going into the next country with our next refugee friend and establish those same rhythms there.
Well, and the indigenous missionary method, if you will, is transformational in spreading the gospel. Because these are folks that live among them that have, again, the connections that somebody from another place may be able to earn, but over what period of time and at what expense and at what level by comparison. So, you know, the fact that that's happening right here, and here we are in one of the most diverse cities in America, where we have the opportunity to, in essence, go to every nation, every people group, or at least many, without ever leaving our home.
Yeah, that's absolutely right. And I think that's the beauty of what we do, is it can be really overwhelming or intimidating for somebody to picture themselves going to another country, even on a short-term mission trip. That's just something that isn't always easily accessible. But what we have with GoTen is, if you can spend time just investing in an English center 1 hour a week, establishing a friendship with someone that is just worked into the normal rhythm of your life, then you are the foundation and you're impacting these global initiatives that we're doing at GoTen. And so in a very real way, you do become a missionary while not having to leave your vocation.
It's awesome. And, you know, I'm mindful of an expression that we have heard and we repeat, which is this, that God is not nearly as interested in our ability as he is in our availability. And so if you're in within the sound of our voice and you're thinking, you know what, you know, I spend an hour a week just waiting in line at Starbucks, and I've got that time, I can carve it out, and I could be at a place, and there's a location that's probably not far from me, I encourage you to reach out to GoTen. Do check their website, goten.org. You know, ask questions, find out, do a discovery day. And again, Will, I want to thank you for being on the program. I want to thank you for your story. I want to thank you for your obedience to the call of Christ on your life and the encouragement that it's been to me personally today, and also to those that are listening. Thanks so much for being here. Awesome to have you.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you. It's been a huge blessing to just be able to be a part of this.
Well, you know, in keeping with our sponsor, Jeff, you know, Phoenix Christian is a place where we say it's a school of no majority. I mean, you walk on campus, and it was only two shows ago that we had the son of a refugee from Liberia whose life has been transformed because his mom stepped out and they were placed in Massachusetts and then Minnesota. And now he's in Phoenix and on his way to college, you know, likely to play football at the next level. And so talk a little bit about, you know, Will and what you've heard, Jeff, and how it relates to what God's doing at Phoenix Christian today.
Well, thanks, Stephen. Thanks, Will. I think the word of the morning for me, sitting here listening, is humbled, and an eye-opener at the unique challenges that the refugees face. I think my eyes are open and enlightened regarding cultural context and the education that comes there. And let me just say that Phoenix Christian is honored to provide this kind of platform to celebrate these types of organizations. Because one of the things that happens in our country and in our community and in our media is we don't celebrate enough the successes of the church. You've heard here this morning, you've listened to the statistics, you've listened to the impact that organizations like GO10 are having with the refugee community. We celebrate, you know, houses being built for the homeless in our country, water being provided all across this country, the impact of literacy rates. Who's largely making an impact in these types of initiatives? It's the church. And it goes largely ignored and uncelebrated. And Phoenix Christian Preparatory School is grateful to have the platform in an environment like this to celebrate Will and GO10 and what you're doing. And to stand with you. And you know, I can't help but also reflect back, you know, obviously we celebrated Man here, one of our beloved students at the school. But honestly, I'm reflecting back at the beginning of this year, sitting down in my office with a refugee family and a father who in tears was grappling, making sure he had sufficient resources to provide an education for his children. As an immigrant to our country, displaced, making life, putting life together, and wanting a Christian-based education for his children. And I'm compelled even harder to pursue initiatives and opportunities to support and honored that he would even entrust Phoenix Christian with the care of his daughters. And so if the listener's compelled by that is to reach out and find a way to support and engage with GO10 availability, if the listener is compelled and wants to stand with Phoenix Christian as we serve our community, including the refugee community, I encourage you to visit phoenixchristian.org. And let me put an opportunity out. We have an event coming up on March 7th, and it's our annual The Giving Tree Auction, and it's an opportunity to gather folks from all across our city and community that want to reach out and support Phoenix Christian Preparatory as we serve in our community and the beautiful diversity. Steve, thanks again for affirming that Phoenix Christian is a school of no majority as we embrace the beautiful diversity of Phoenix, Arizona. And this morning, I'm enlightened even more on the diversity that's largely hidden. I wanted to read and just encourage the listener for a minute of a note I received on my desk last week. And this is from a third grade student, and she writes, Phoenix Christian is the best school I've gone to because they have more friends, I have more friends, a longer school year, and I get more recess. She says, I love PC, and I love my teacher, the best teacher in the world, Mrs. Leary. I love the Bible, and I love it because I've never had a Bible book, and I've never had a Bible book at my other school, and I sure hope I get to come back to Phoenix Christian next year. Thanks for listening to The Beacon. We're blessed and honored to stand with organizations like GO10 and be a service to our community.
Thank you, Jeff. Thank you to the listeners. If you've been encouraged or interested in hearing other episodes of The Beacon, you can find those at phoenixchristian.org/beacon. Again, Will, thank you for being here. Thanks to 960 The Patriot. Thanks to our faithful producer, Jeremy, for keeping us on the straight and narrow. We appreciate you as our listener, and we pray that you'll have an awesome day in Christ Jesus. We'll see you next time.